Take a few minutes here to look into Proverbs. Last time we looked at the idea of verse 2 of chapter 1 with regard to the idea of knowing. And when we're interested in knowing things, we kind of concluded in our last discussion together was that to know something pretty much requires firsthand experience, something such that it's within range of perhaps of being able to see something in particular, but it could have to do with the idea of that which you personally experience, which is a part of your life activities. You know things because it's there that you can test out to whether it's real or not. I guess one of the side comments that we left with you a little bit regarding knowing had to do with the idea that if someone gives you a report, the only thing you know about that report is they gave it. But as to the content of the report, unless you were involved in the preparations of that report or have a way of independently verifying that which is within that report, you don't know. So this is just a bit of information. I suppose if we were to look at that kind of in a sideways view or another point of view, when you go into a court of law and someone is a witness, one witness isn't enough, according to biblical principles, to verify that something happened. They may give a witness, but if it isn't verified by a second person who witnesses this and gives testimony to that, then it's very difficult for the court to have any ideas to the reality of knowing. Well, when we look at that, the next word that's there in verse 2 is to know wisdom. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time on this idea of wisdom, even though this particular verse and possibly some of the others that might follow don't give us a lot of detail concerning wisdom. I think that we would find that wisdom has to do with perhaps having good sense. If we're to know wisdom, we know that a person has the ability to sense things, and it's good sense. I suppose if you were to take in someone like my wife before her cataract surgery, she might be able to see something, but there was some question as to whether she had good sense of vision at that time. And there are other people that I've been around. I think Sylvia's Aunt Mary would be one where she had serious cataracts, and everything that she saw through a cataract was more like tea in color, and I don't think she distinguished very much in terms of a lot of appreciation of beauty of the flowers and things like this that she might come into the presence of. And so when we're talking about wisdom, this has to do with the ability to having good sense. It has to do with just being wise in mind and word and actions. And the only way to come to a good discussion on wisdom really is to go back to the dictionary. So I go to my trusty Webster's Dictionary of 1828. It's pretty hard for people to twist definitions based upon the politically correct when you go back that far. I'm not sure that they were real skilled at that, and Webster wasn't particularly inclined towards that as an individual. And so if you'll forgive me, I'll go to this recent dictionary of 1828 and discuss some of the definitions that are related to wisdom. Wisdom, he says, is the right use or exercise of knowledge. And so if we're to know something, knowledge is another form of the word know. So if we're going to know wisdom, we're going to know someone who has the right use or exercise of knowledge. And not only when we're talking about the right use, but there is some discussion as to what right or right use might be. He suggests that it has to do with the choice of laudable ends. You give someone laud, you give someone praise, you give someone a positive compliment. So we have the choice of these laudable ends. What are the ends, the end of someone's action? What is the end of someone's doing? And then it also talks about, and the best means of accomplishing these ends. So we have the goal or the end of activity or action, and then we're concerned with the best means of accomplishing this goal. Now, we have a fellow by Machiavelli, and I'm not sure I can quote him correctly, but the end justifies the means was one of his principles. And so any means to get to the end result, in his point of view, was more than correct. But when we look at the scriptures, we look at the dictionary, when we're talking about wisdom, we as believers need to be concerned with the means to the end, not just the end. Yes, God has goals for us and objectives for us to accomplish, but he also is very, very concerned, as we would read through the scriptures, that the means, the way, the methods, the energies that we put into this, the way we go about this is very, very important. And we just don't go to the goal without doing it correctly. And so I suppose if we were to consider the Boston Marathon or I think there was another marathon that where they went out one direction, doubled around, came back two or three streets later in the other direction, came to the end. There were some occasions where the runners would go down out about a quarter of the way. They would cut out of the pack of the runners and go have a cup of coffee and whatever. And then when the people started coming down the other way, they would join in just a little bit past the front runners and then come into the end with a good end result of their running, which made them close to the front of the pack. And, of course, they got flowers and praises for that. So the means is necessary when we're interested in accomplishing the ends. So when we talk about laudable ends and the best means to accomplish these ends, this is wisdom in act, in effect, and in practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning and judging what is most just, proper, and useful. So the faculty of the mind, you teachers, what does faculty mean? They might be the staff. How does this relate to the faculty of the mind now as we think about this? Is it the faculty or the people who make it possible to accomplish an end? Has to do with the method, or is it has to do with the people who are involved in accomplishing that, perhaps? In this case, if we have the faculty of discerning and the judging what is most just, proper, and useful, would it have to do with our ability to grasp the skills that are involved there and to put them out properly? How do we look at that? Something for us to think about. So wisdom is the faculty of discerning, gathering together the resources for discerning. It is the gathering together of the resources for judging. Let's see, discerning and judging. Discerning might have to do with gathering this information. So it's taking knowledge and properly making it available. Judging would have to do with taking this knowledge and properly applying it, perhaps. I suppose if you were to judge a criminal, you would say, I judge you to the proper result of going to jail or something like that. But when we're talking about knowledge, and we want to discern that knowledge, and we also want to say, this is useful, this should not be used, something like that. And the three methods of doing this is what is most just, and the word just, if you were to put the word right as opposed to wrong, that would be an effective way to look at the idea of just. When we're looking at proper, I guess this is a judgment call as to where the method is involved here. And useful would have to do with, I suppose it would be useful for me to go to Butler to maybe buy some food tomorrow. But what's most useful? My bicycle or my car in accomplishing this in a proper time frame. So proper might be involved in that too. So wisdom is involved in all of these things, and it's important for us to use wisdom. It's the right exercise, use or exercise of knowledge. And if it is to be considered as an acquirement, it is the knowledge and the use of what is best, most just, most proper, and most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Now, this is dictionary definitions we're working with here, and so it helps us to grasp this idea. If we're to know wisdom, then we are able to take this bit of knowledge, and the knowing of wisdom has to do with the application of this information that we would get have together in these things. Well, it's something to think about. When we're talking about knowing and we're talking about wisdom, we have a real interesting time of application that's before us. We are in the process of coming to primary elections in May. And why these terms might be important for us is that we're going to be electing judges and district attorneys, and we're going to be involved in people who make all of these decisions. So we're going to be looking at this idea of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity and all of these things in these days ahead. Just kind of place these out here and let us think about these things. And if we think about this ahead of time, and you have a chance to be in a place where one of these people show up and say, "Hey, I'm running for office," you can ask them, "Okay, I'm glad you came by. How do you understand the concept of wisdom? Or how do you understand justice or judgment? And give me some information about this. Since you're in this office, you're going into this office, you've been involved in this. All these people have been involved in this as lawyers or whatever for years and years and years. What do these things mean to you?" And ask them to explain it. And then maybe before they're done, you can say, "Have you ever looked into the Bible to see what it means? And are you really doing things, or are you really heading in directions that will honor God? Will he bless you in the service that you're trying to run for? Have you ever thought about this?" That may be where you have to leave it, but they're going to be accountable to some degree to go and search these things out. And so that's why I'm kind of bringing these things up, because we're in a kind of a sweet spot right now where we might have an opportunity to visit with these people or visit with our neighbors regarding these concepts, these things that are here. It's very practical, because if we don't do things God's way, we're going to be headed down a very difficult road. I was reading through a little bit of Psalm 119, and it talks about all of these things too, and spends time with regard to this. So I hope this is helpful and curious to you and maybe useful. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. We appreciate the opportunity we have to be your children. And I appreciate the blessings that we have, that we might not be a people who are unawares. And that likewise, you would also help us from time to time to bring back these ideas, these concepts, to our remembrance, so that we might be a people who are wise. We might be a people who are able to discern and able to make good application of our efforts for you in a manner which is fruitful, and in a manner which will be even as would be considered spirit-filled, as would speak in a number of places in the New Testament. Thank you so much for your kindness to us. We thank you that we might be a people who are led. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.